And we are joined here in the studio by the one, the only, Susan Brown. It's Talking Books time. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm well and swell.
That's good.
And
I can tell.
This morning I used some hair gel.
All right.
So last week we were going to talk about sci-fi, so I started talking like a robot computer.
Oh, right, right, right. Because they all talk in rhyme.
No, this week we're talking
about
poetry.
Oh, last week you did. Yeah, so, right.
So I was going to try and talk in rhyme all the time.
Should be a crime.
Or it's going to be a really quiet show. I'm doing great. How
so
are
it's,
you?
I'm good. It's National Poetry Month. As those of you who are listening and have been listening all week definitely know, because all of our guests, I've been inviting them to read their favorite poems and really, really excited with the results. I'm excited for tomorrow, and I'm not going to give anything away, but at 4:30 tomorrow, I talk with Tom Jensen of Public Policy Polling. He's been very excited about the poems that he's going to be reading all week long. So tune in tomorrow at 4:30 as well, because that's going to be a special.
Well, I'm just saying I'm going to be a hard act to follow. You might
no,
be looking
you're definitely
going to
be a hard act to follow.
I brought my A game.
All right.
I brought, like, many things.
Yes. All right. All right.
Yes.
So, all right. What do you got?
No, but first we're going to talk about other stuff.
Oh, we're going to talk about other. Okay.
So,
as you frantically pull up poems on the computer.
No. I wanted to bring up. So, do you get our newsletter?
You know what?
So
I don't
happening?
Know if I do.
So you should.
I should.
Check your spam file. I'm just saying, if you had read
yes.
the newsletter, it's our e-newsletter. It goes out about twice a month. We don't hit you up too much.
Yes.
Our marketing dude, Daniel Seiler, works on this for us. This week, the one that went out this morning, I looked at it. I was like, holy cow. There's a lot going on at the Dadgum Library. So I encourage folks that don't get this. Again, we send you like two a month. Let me just read what's going on. Tonight, Wednesday, April 19th at 6 p.m., we are screening the Atul Gawande movie, Being Mortal.
Yes.
And there's going to be a facilitated discussion with some folks from UNC Healthcare about end-of-life issues and how we talk about this and how we plan for this. Tomorrow, of course, it's a Meet the Author tea. Have you had Tim Cruthers on?
We have. We had him on Monday.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was a great conversation.
I'm very sad that I'm going to miss this one. So,
oh.
So that's tomorrow.
Which means that the Milanos are going to be freely available for anyone who does show up.
Oh, no, I wouldn't have been raided the Milano Plaza.
Oh, okay, well, never mind then. Good. First things first, everyone.
So that's Wednesday night at the library, then Thursday afternoon, then Friday night is the second of the science fiction Future Imperfect series, which my husband went to last week, and he was like, it was one of the greatest programs I've ever
been
to.
That's awesome.
I was like, that's great. So the second one of those is Friday night. This one is about humans and robots in film and reality and what we all think of that. And then coming up this Saturday is Ask a Lawyer Day.
Yes.
So, and then there's, oh, and then Sunday is our Science in the Stacks program, which is a really great program where UNC students come and talk about their research. The idea is that if they can talk about, so it's one thing to present your research to other scientists.
Right.
It's another if you can present it to like fourth
regular
graders.
Regular people, right, right.
So that's that program. And then also Sunday at the same time, there's a Chapel Hill Historical Society program. So the rest of your week, you could just camp out at the library.
Are there also books?
There are also books.
Oh, my God.
There's not coffee yet.
Yes.
But there will be coffee soon.
There will
soon.
Be coffee soon. Oh,
yes.
Okay.
I can't say anything more.
I think you've said enough already.
I mean, right. Coffee's coming.
Yeah.
But anyway, so there's just great, great programs. I was struck by how many awesome things are happening at the library this week
when I opened up my... newsletter.
My newsletter.
That's cool.
So you can sign up for the newsletter if you don't get it on our webpage. So there's my shameless plug before we talk poetry.
So Being Mortal, that's the movie. I've read the book. Is it like a documentary
it's
based
a documentary.
On the book?
It
Is
was
it
on,
fictional?
Or,
okay.
I think it was PBS Frontline maybe,
okay.
one
All
of
right.
those.
It's a great book.
It is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. So poetry.
I've got three poems.
I've
and
got
books
three
to go.
Poems.
Do you really?
I actually have no. I've got one poem, and then I've got two kind of longer poems that I'm gonna read a portion of.
This is gonna be awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like
so
it.
My first poem is one of my all-time favorites.
Yes.
It's from Shel Silverstein.
Second Shel Silverstein today.
Really?
All right.
And I liked Deb Stroman, who read Maya Angelou.
Maya Angelou.
Boom.
Yeah.
Does my sassiness upset you?
Yes.
Alrighty.
And it's fine.
Love it. That's
yeah.
right. Okay. So ready? This is my favorite Shel Silverstein poem. It's called Warning.
Okay.
Inside everybody's nose, there lives a sharp-toothed snail. So if you stick your finger in, he may bite off your nail. Stick it farther up inside, he may bite your ring off. Stick it all the way, and he may bite the whole darn thing off. There it is. Warning by Shel Silverstein. And I can recommend
Silverstein is so good.
All of his books.
Yeah.
Where the Sidewalk Ends.
Yes.
The Light in the Attic.
Falling Up.
Yep. All of them. Even the one, what was the one about the piece?
The missing piece.
Yes.
Yeah. And that was a series, right? Because there was the Missing Piece, and what was it, like the Missing Piece 2 Electric Boogaloo
Son
or
of
something like that?
Missing
yeah.
Okay, that was my first poem.
Okay. My favorite Shel Silverstein poem is still The Bloth, which is in the undergrowth there dwells a bloth who feeds upon poets and tea. Luckily, I know this about him while he knows almost nothing of me.
Awesome.
Love it.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
And then, of course, Sarah Sylvia Cynthia Stout would not take the garbage out.
Yeah.
We could go on like this.
Oh, yeah. Forever. All right. Let me go with the, I'm actually going to go from maudlin to funnier. So I'm going to start with Pied Beauty by Gerard Manley Hopkins, which is, I don't know why it struck me the way that it does, but it's really short. It's really, really good. Glory be to God for dappled things, for skies of couple color as a brinded cow, for rose moles all in stipple upon trout that swim, fresh fire cold chestnut falls, finches wings, landscape plotted and pieced, fold fallow and plow, and all trades their gear and tackle and trim. All things counter, original, spare, strange, whatever is fickle, freckled, who knows how, with swift, slow, sweet, sour, a dazzle, dim, he fathers forth whose beauty is past change. Praise him.
Wow.
Pied Beauty.
That was deep.
Yeah.
I opened with one about nose picking,
yeah.
And you lead with that.
It is a poem that is a tribute to nose pickers.
No, it's not.
It
but it's
is,
beautiful.
Though. It
it's
is.
Beautiful.
It's a tribute to the slightly imperfect.
Okay.
It's exactly
freckled
as it should be.
Freckled and fickle. I like that.
Fickle,
I've been
freckled.
Called both of those things.
Often by the same person at the same time and for the same reason.
Okay.
All right,
so
go
this,
for it.
So if that was a tribute, this is a tribute to my high school English teacher, Elaine Almerode. Mrs. Almerode, if you're listening, you're probably not listening because you're in Virginia
yes.
somewhere. This is a tribute to her because she was an awesome, awesome English teacher, and she taught poetry so well. So I remember the first two lines of this poem because she talked about onomatopoeia, right? Words mm-hmm. that sound
like the noise
like,
they make.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is also a great John Prine song, onomatopoeia, I don't want to see you speaking in a foreign tongue. But that's not what we're here to talk about. This is an Emily Dickinson poem, and I love Emily Dickinson. And it goes like this. Bees are black with gilt surcingles, buccaneers of buzz. Ride abroad in ostentation and subsist on fuzz. Fuzz ordained, not fuzz contingent, marrows of the hill, jugs, a universe's fracture could not jar or spill.
Nice.
That opening line, she taught onomatopoeia by breaking apart those first two lines.
Oh, I love it.
Bees are black with gilt surcingles, buccaneers of buzz.
Nice.
So, and
there's only one word in there that is onomatopoeia, right? There's buzz, but it's the sound
it's
that
the
creates
sound,
the
and it
yeah.
evokes what they look like.
Yes.
The gilts are singles and they subsist on fuzz.
Well, we had the Tom Stevens, mayor of Hillsborough. Mm-hmm. His poem was Jabberwocky, which
oh, yeah.
was exactly the same thing. Like so many words in that poem are nonsense words that Lewis Carroll made up that mean absolutely nothing at all except what Humpty Dumpty says they mean, and even he says they mean whatever you want them to mean, but it doesn't matter because the meaning is clear from the sound.
Twas brillig on the briny shore.
Yeah.
Isn't that how it starts?
No.
Twas brillig on the briny shore?
Twas brillig in the slithy toves did gyre and dimble in the wave. Yeah.
There we go. Well, twas brillig. I had that right.
Twas brillig, yeah.
So I wanted to recommend two books mm-hmm. about Emily Dickinson. One is a great biography. I love to read. There's some really great biographies of poets. There's mm-hmm. a wonderful biography of Edna St. Vincent Millay that came out probably 10 years ago, which is a really, really great book. But there's one about Emily Dickinson called My Wars Are Laid Away in Books. This one came out, I don't know, probably more than 10 years ago. It's a really great biography of her. And then there's another great book called The Poet and the Murderer, which I think I've talked about before. It's the story of a guy who forged Emily Dickinson manuscripts, and it's a literary true crime tale, and it's really, really good. It's called The Poet and the Murderer. It's a little bit hard to find. We may not have it at the library, but it's a great book.
All right.
So there you go.
Well, let me recommend a book about a poet then as well. Walt Whitman's America by David Reynolds. David Reynolds is a historian, scholar of Walt Whitman, but also studies the 19th century. And he writes this book about not Walt Whitman so much as the world around Whitman that Whitman was writing about and responding to. And it's this great sort of interesting perspective on understanding like the middle of the 19th century in America and what science was like and what culture and society and sexuality and everything else. And it's this great perspective and view on 1800s America from the lens of Walt Whitman writing poetry.
What's it called?
Walt Whitman's America by David Reynolds. Great, great book. My senior year in college, I took a class called Walt Whitman's America, where that was the book that we read, as well as Whitman poetry. William Pannapacker was the professor, and I went to this dinky college, Hope College in Holland, Michigan, and just totally randomly, Bill Pannapacker had started teaching there, but he was one of the leading Whitman scholars in America at the time and still is today. He also writes for the Chronicle for Higher Education. I think he still does that occasionally as well. But it was one of my favorite classes ever in college, and ever since then, I've been a huge Whitman nerd. Like, one of my chapters in my dissertation, which was a political science dissertation, was about Walt Whitman, because that was the level that I was at. I am so much of a Walt Whitman nerd that I am a Walt Whitman hipster.
Don't make that turn.
Everyone reads the 1892 version of Leaves of Grass. You got to get the original 1855 version of Leaves of Grass, which is pared down. It's succinct. It's got 12 poems in it. It captures the zeitgeist. He's bearded in all of them. He's actually the least bearded in 1855. Walt Whitman was the George Lucas of his day. He creates this wonderful piece, and then he just spends the entire rest of his life not creating new things, but just tinkering with the original thing and just slowly ruining it over the course of four decades.
I like that comparison.
Very similar. Whitman shot first, as it turns out. So I'm not going to read all of Song of Myself, because that would literally take 2 hours, but this is my favorite stanza from Song of Myself. It's the opening poem, and it was actually untitled until like 1870. He finally like stuck Song of Myself as the title on it. It was originally untitled, then he called it Walt Whitman, then he called it Walt Whitman an American, and then he called it Song of Myself. And I know all of this because that's how much of a Whitman hipster I am. But this is my favorite stanza from that poem, and I have a hard time reading this out loud without getting choked up, so I'm actually going to try to do this, but I might have to stop halfway through. I believe a leaf of grass is no less than the journey work of the stars, and the pismire is equally perfect, and a grain of sand and the egg of the wren, and a tree toad is a chef d'oeuvre for the highest, and the running blackberry would adorn the parlors of heaven, and the narrowest hinge in my hand puts to scorn all machinery, and the cow crunching with depressed head surpasses any statue, and a mouse is miracle enough to stagger sextillions of infidels, and I could come every afternoon of my life to look at the farmer's girl boiling her iron tea kettle and baking shortcake.
Oh, that's good stuff.
So good, right?
Read the line about the mouse again.
A mouse is miracle enough to stagger sextillions of infidels.
Ugh. Yeah. That's awesome. I got chills.
My favorite is the narrowest hinge in my hand puts to scorn all machinery. But like,
that's
you
pretty
can read
great
that.
Too.
Yeah,
right?
So good.
That's awesome.
And this is like stanza 50 of a, or stanza like 28 of a 50 stanza 40 page poem that I got a chance to read to take part in a public reading of Song of Myself in New York City.
Oh, wow.
We were, it was a group of us. I presented a paper on Whitman, and my name got on someone's mailing list, and they sent an email to me saying, hey, we're doing this thing. Come and take part. So I took part, and it was right on the East River the lower part of Manhattan, right on the South Street Seaport, I think it was, and just sort of sat there as the the sun was setting behind us, like staring across the river to Brooklyn, reading this poem. And this group of 50 of us that just got up and took turns reading one stanza after another. And then I told someone from Carrboro about it a couple years later, and then they held a public reading of Song of Myself at the Weaver Street Lawn, which was equally fun.
That's very Carrboro.
It was really good. It was, right?
That's awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, that's my second one.
I've got one more.
All right, so do I.
It's the only poem that I know by heart. So notice I have shut my
laptop.
Oh,
yes, you have. That's
good. So the other two poems I read, I know I can almost get them.
Right.
The first two or three lines, I'm good, but I don't have them committed to memory.
Yeah.
But this one I do.
Okay.
So this is a Langston Hughes poem, and I discovered this. I'm just going to say this. It was kind of like this jar that you have here. It was taped to the tip jar at the pub in Blacksburg, where I spent a lot of time studying.
What Langston Hughes poem would be taped to a tip
right?
jar?
So this. So at first, I just saw this poem, and then it was kind of covered up with other things, and I would always see it. I was like, God, that is great.
Yeah.
And then I finally, one day, I was like, I'm taking it. So I just ripped it off. Peeled the scotch. I mean, this tip jar had been there forever. I peeled the scotch tape away, and then I realized it was Langston Hughes.
Yes.
And I had this little thing as a souvenir just tucked in my wallet for years and years and years.
I still don't know what this is about to be. All right.
This is a Langston Hughes poem called Motto.
All right.
I play it cool. I dig all jive. That's the reason I stay alive. My motto as I live and learn is dig and be dug in return.
Nice.
So there you have it. The
Moulin
only poem,
Rouge would have been much better if that had been the tagline.
The only poem that I know by heart, and I think it pretty much sums my attitude about the world up.
Yeah.
So boom.
That's good.
I'm dropping my mic.
Like it.
I'm out.
Langston Hughes is another great one. Brad and I were talking about this before, where I asked him what his would be, and his was Theme for English B. Also by Langston Hughes, and I was like, oh, that's a good one. If I were to choose a Langston Hughes, mine would be The Negro Speaks of Rivers, which is another one of my all-time favorites. But you could just, like, keep rattling off, like, Dream Deferred, Motto. There's so many great ones.
So I don't have a book to recommend for that one, I just realized. So maybe I can recommend going to a pub and reading
and reading poetry
while you're studying.
Which is probably good advice anytime,
yes.
I think. Yeah. All right, so my last one. This was set during World War II, but it is a perfect sort of quick summation of what we think about war whenever we find our country fighting in one. This is In Westminster Abbey by John Betjeman, B-E-T-J-E-M-E-N. It's a last name I don't know how to pronounce. But this is a longer poem, so I'll only read one stanza of it. It's the money stanza. It's the one you have to remember. It's a woman who goes into Westminster Abbey. It's like a middle-class posh British woman who goes into Westminster Abbey to pray for her country's success in World War II. So this is the stanza. Gracious Lord, O bomb the Germans. Spare their women for thy sake. And if that is not too easy, we will pardon thy mistake. But gracious Lord, whate'er shall be, don't let anyone bomb me.
That's great.
And it goes on like that.
I
but
love
that's
it.
The that is that's my all-time favorite wartime
that's
stanza.
Good stuff.
Yep.
That's good stuff. This was fun. Hey, happy National Poetry
Month. Happy National Poetry Month. Thank you so much.
All See
right,
you next
Susan
week.
Brown.